If you've taken a trip to an out-of-the-way destination where few travelers venture, you just might have used one of the books published by our next guest. Hilary Bratt's much-loved series of travel guides called The Bratt Guides was born 4 decades ago. It all started while she was trekking with her husband George in the jungles of Peru.
Well, it was complete accident, as some of the best things in life are. George and I were, we were floating down a tributary of the Amazon, and we were crammed into hammocks on deck, and there was really very little to do. And we'd come up a little earlier and said, sort of, really we should be writing about these treks that we're doing, because what we were doing was exploring mountain paths and routes through the mountains. And this was in 1973, and there were absolutely no guidebooks, literally no guidebooks to South America, certainly not to the mountain regions. There was one, the South American Handbook, which covered the towns, but no one knew where to walk, how to walk, you know, where to go. And we just thought we would write, first of all, we thought we'd write an article, and then we thought perhaps we'd write a pamphlet for one of the outdoor shops, actually L.L. Bean. We thought maybe we could write a sort of pamphlet for them. And when we were on this barge, we thought, well, you know, let's get writing. So we wrote up some of the notes we'd taken. And to cut a long story short, we published a guidebook.
Now, that was the little yellow guidebook?
It was a little yellow book, absolutely full of misprints, no maps.
1974.
Pretty bad.
$1.95. And how many of those did you sell?
We published 2,000. It was all thanks to George's mother in Boston, who printed 2,000 copies and typed it up. Of course, George is dyslexic, so the spelling was pretty bad. And we sold the 2,000 copies. And we thought, hey, you know, this is rather fun. This works. And so we thought we'd do another one.
Hilary, that is so parallel to my career. I was in the 70s. I was on the hippie bus going from Istanbul to Kathmandu. And there was 20 hippies on the bus with a bunch of local people going all the way 4 or 5 days on this bus. And there were no guidebooks. There was a staple-bound thing called the Bit Guide, which was a bunch of British vagabonds that had stapled it together. And everybody was scouring that thing to know how we're going to get across the next border. And it occurred to me, boy, there's a value for guidebooks. And I went home and I typed up my first book, made 2,000 copies just like you. I think I was charging $3.95 instead of $1.95 because I was a few years after you. Ooh. But that was the beginning. And since then, how many different countries have you covered in your publishing company?
Well, now as a publisher, it's over 200 titles.
What are some of the destinations that you and your publishing company have decided to cover that have the most minuscule markets that other publishers would never dare to go?
One of the most unusual ones is North Korea, which does quite well. Far more people buy that book than are allowed to go to North Korea. We've done Iraq and we've done Iran. We've done the Congo, Angola, Rwanda. We do like to choose places that are emerging from conflict because we feel that that really is a benefit to the country. They need tourists. And there's a sort of perception, oh, you know, we wouldn't want to go there. They're a war zone. And of course, they're not. You know, once they're through with the war, they need to develop the country and also sort of regain their own self-confidence, because any country emerging from a civil war is devastated morally as well as economically.
Hilary, when I think of all the places you've gone, people must just think you are reckless. You're going to all these godforsaken corners and you're a woman and they're just going to kidnap you and sell you into the white slave trade or something like that. You've been doing this for 40 years. I remember 40 years ago, people used to say bon voyage. Now, I don't know about in England, but in America, they say travel safely, as if, you know, like, we'll pray for you. I hope you make it. What is your take on fear and how has that changed in the last 40 years when it comes to traveling and how bold people are?
I'm so glad you've asked that question. You know, when people say, what got you into this? I can answer, I think quite truthfully, that when I was a child, my mother never said, take care. She was happy to let us go out all day on bicycles or walking or whatever. And it was different in those days. I was brought up in the 40s and 50s. And honestly, you know, our parents, our mothers worked so hard that all they wanted to do was get rid of us during the day. And I am lucky that this sense of adventure has persisted into my adulthood. And, you know, the thing is, I've never run into serious trouble. I've hitchhiked every decade of my life except the first one. I still hitchhike. I'm in my 70s and I do still occasionally hitchhike. And you meet the most wonderful people, especially in America. I've had some of my best hitchhiking experiences ever.
I got to say, I'm sure you've hitchhiked in America, but you've also hitchhiked in Rwanda and Burma and Madagascar and in places where a lot of people would be cowering inside their first world hotel in the capital city, wondering if it's safe to go out. Have you noticed that in England, that there's more fear, or is that just an American thing? Do you notice that phenomenon?
No, I have noticed it. And I talk a lot about the privilege of trusting people. And it's so much more enjoyable way to live, you know, and I'm lucky in that I do trust people. And I'm probably very lucky that mostly my trust has been fulfilled.
For more than 40 years, Hilary Bratt's been publishing books which are often the first and sometimes the only guidebook to an offbeat destination. Yes, I suppose this metaphor is a little obvious, but the same can be said of public radio and of this station, the one you're listening to right now. We take you where no one else does. So often, the stories you hear on public radio are simply not found elsewhere. And like Hilary Bratt, public radio isn't in this for the money. Sure, not many of us are going to buy a guidebook to North Korea or the Congo, but we all benefit when we better understand what's happening in those places. It helps us be better informed and more compassionate citizens of this planet. During this special fundraising edition of Travel with Rick Steves, we're asking you to help ensure that this off-the-beaten-path programming can keep coming to you day in and day out. In so many ways, this station is your radio home. And I can guarantee you that your financial contribution will be smartly put to work to help keep this radio station strong, strong in your community all year long. And when you call in to support public radio, you're helping to ensure that your entire community gets to come along with us on the journey. When you help fund your local station with your contribution, we all get a little more worldly. Your neighbors become better informed, and you find that you're living in a more enlightened and more thoughtful community as a result. That alone is worth a lot. Show your support by making a contribution right now to the station that brings you the world.